This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In seminary, those aspiring to the priesthood have to take a class called Systematic Theology, Systematics for short. And in this class, we explore all the different ways to explain God. Well, we had a teacher who was a little short woman, kind of elderly, and so brilliant and so wise. We stood up and took notice when she began to speak. She stood in front of the class, first day of class, and she looked out at all of us and she said, "No one can explain God. And now we're going to spend the next 18 months trying to do so." And that's exactly what we did. We tried, and we tried. Today is Trinity Sunday, and with churches around the world, we try to explain something that is a mystery, so that hopefully we can enter into this mystery a little deeper. So we call God Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Some say Father, Mother, Creator, God, Brother, Jesus Christ, Sister, Holy Spirit. There's many different ways. And over the years, people have tried to describe and give examples or metaphors for this Holy Trinity. So just share a couple with you. This one was not by any great theologian. I just noticed that the other night we had a backup plan for our Pentecost vigil with all of these stools around with red tablecloths. We didn't have to use it. But I thought, you know, that is a perfect metaphor. If you look at this, it looks like one table, right? But if you take off the outer cloth, you have three. Put the cloth back on, and you've got one. One function, all supporting the same, but different in the way in which they express. One example. Another example. Eric sitting here is a son. He's a brother. He's a husband. Same person, three different ways. I like that one. Another example is water. You've probably heard this before. Water is liquid. Can be solid as ice, or it can be gas like steam. St. Augustine gave this metaphor. He said that Holy Trinity is like a tree. The bark is wood, the trunk is wood, the branches are wood. One substance, three aspects. In our creeds, it will say right after the sermon, we even have it in sections of the Trinity, so that each week, we can say again and again and again what that definition is and hopefully begin to understand it a little bit more. What's amazing to me about the gospel today, when Jesus says we go out in the name of the Trinity, he told the disciples who had gathered with him at the very end to go out into the world, making disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The amazing part is that in the beginning it said the disciples were there and some doubted. And some doubted, and still Jesus sent them out. Still. Which makes me feel really good, because there's times in all of our lives when we doubt and we wonder, right? Am I right? We all do that at different phases in our lives. And Jesus sends them out not only in that Trinitarian name, but also then tells them, "And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." And they were probably wondering, well, how is that going to be? If you're going to leave us, and how are you with us? And they struggled with some of these same questions. Oswald Chambers, who wrote this great little daily reader called My Utmost for His Highest, talked about that very presence like this, and I quote, he said, "God not only expects me to do his will, he is in me to do it," end quote. So it's important that we note that Jesus talked about having all three aspects of that Trinity and to baptize in that way. So if we do a baptism and we say, I baptize you in the name of God, and then we go on, we're missing the identification of the Redeemer, of Jesus come to life as God in human form. And we're also missing the aspect of the Holy Spirit and the activity of the Holy Spirit happening now. If we say, I baptize you in the name of Jesus, then we miss out on affirming God the Creator, God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if we say, I baptize you in the name of the Holy Spirit, then we leave out the magnificence of our Creator that we heard about in the first reading, and the presence of a human being who came to earth to help us try to figure out what it means to be human in the name of God, because God loved us so very much. So all three are important. In my Christian journey, this was way, way back, like in the 90s, I really was struggling with the idea of Jesus Christ, that aspect of the Trinity. Now, it wasn't that I didn't believe in Jesus Christ. I was raised in this church, baptized, confirmed. My parents taught Sunday school here. I prayed every day very devoutly, wanting to really understand that aspect of the Trinity more than the others, because I felt comfortable with the Holy Spirit and I felt comfortable with understanding this Creator God, but I just didn't get it. And I had some very, very harsh teachings that I was hearing from some friends who were fundamental Christians who were just discounting all these other groups of people if you weren't Christian, and I was really struggling. So I got advice from three different people, probably over the course of 2 years, because I was really struggling. This is way before I thought I was going to be a priest. It's a good thing I was struggling with it back then. I went to one priest, and he said, Wendy, relax. However you enter into the Trinity, know that you're entering all three. However you're entering into the Trinity, know that you are entering into all three. So I thought, okay, well, that's somewhat helpful. You know, I still have this doubt. I have to get this. So then, a little while later, I went to another priest. He was the canon for education here in our diocese. Maybe some of you knew him, Fred Masterman, a long time ago. And he said, maybe this scripture will be helpful. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He said, listen to this. And I quote from Paul. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. I thought, wait, Moses is 1,200 years before Jesus walked the face of the earth. How could that be? And then I thought, wow. And he said, yeah, Christ always was. Always was. Christ came to earth in the form of Jesus Christ. And Christ is with us now. So I thought, okay, now we're getting somewhere. Now I'm finally, I think, beginning to get this. I still thought that I could intellectually understand the Trinity. And I still kept trying. And then finally, one of the best pieces of advice came from a woman who was not a priest. She was a good friend and a mentor, a devout woman. She said to me, Wendy, let me tell you this. Your relationship with Jesus Christ will be your own. And you have to ask Jesus to show you what that relationship will be. And that's how it becomes personal. Someone at the earlier service, as they were leaving, said this, and I have to repeat it. She said, yeah, what I heard was that Jesus isn't private. Jesus is personal, which I think is really very profound. And I think profoundly helpful. In our daily walk, we continue to develop that relationship with God in Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit, and in God, our Creator. And it's not something that we're going to figure out, that I'm going to be able to write a paper about, and thank God for that. That we lean not on our own understanding, and that there's this power so much greater than us that we can lean on, that will guide us and support us, and that we can see Christ not only in these pictures that we have of Christ as this white Anglo-Saxon guy that ran around, which he wasn't, but as Creator, as Holy Spirit, and as Jesus Christ. In closing, I'd like to share with you the lyrics to a song that I heard at Curcio a couple weeks ago. I was there as the spiritual director, and I had never heard this song. And in my research, I found that the song really came out of the Emmaus movement, which, if I'm not mistaken, is from the Methodist tradition. It's very similar to Curcio. The song is called "Have You Seen Jesus, My Lord?" by David Slater. Have you ever stood at the ocean with the white foam at your feet, felt the endless thundering motion? Then I say you've seen Jesus, my Lord. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. Take a look. Open your eyes. He's here in this room. Have you ever stood at the sunset with the sky mellowing red, seen the clouds suspended like feathers? Then I say you've seen Jesus, my Lord. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. Take a look, open your eyes. He's longing for you. Have you ever held a new baby in your arms, holy and pure, marveled at her tiny perfection? Then I say you've seen Jesus, my Lord. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. Take a look, open your eyes. Each day he is new. Have you ever looked at the cross with a man hanging in pain and the look of love in his eyes? Then I say, you've seen Jesus, my Lord. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. Take a look, open your eyes. Each day he is new. Have you ever stood in the family with the Lord there in your midst, seen the face of Christ on each other? Then I say, you've seen Jesus, my Lord. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. Take a look. Open your eyes. He's living in you. Amen.